Welcome to God Seeker. This is Elizabeth Folgaro. The current message, King. In describing the execution of Jesus, St. Matthew writes in chapter 27, verse 37 of his gospel, "And over his head they put the accusation against him, the cause of his death, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Then St. Paul wrote in his letter called an epistle to the community of early believers at Ephesus, which was on the western edge of present-day Turkey, the following description of Jesus risen from the dead and risen to heaven in Ephesians chapter 1. "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set-apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has appropriated him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete, and who fills everything, everywhere, with himself." What if it's true? What if God is King and we as his subjects are to continue to bring his kingdom to earth? What if this is less by telling people the rules of how it ought to be and more living like Jesus did? That would mean seeking to know God's will for every moment and looking to walk that out. That would make spending time with God to know his will and reflect on him first priority. Jesus did come. And God became king. Yes, through his death. But that was just part of it. Indeed, the cross was critical and essential. It was a breakthrough, life-giving part which shifted how life had been lived to how life will be now. The cross set before us the model of God trajectory for each person. Through Jesus, God's kingdom had come. The living could finally lead to life everlasting. Death no longer to be feared, but just seen as a door through which eventually each one of us would walk in order to come more fully into the inheritance God has for his children. But additionally, his kingdom had come into our temporal midst now and remained. Through Jesus, God's promised kingdom is one which is certainly here, now, already, but just not completely yet. In other words, here there is still the presence of evil which manifests through us and in us, no matter how hard we try. It still affects us. Yet by our spiritual rebirth through the womb of the Holy Spirit, we have become children of God and heirs of this kingdom which is already here. Jesus is the current and forever king of this kingdom. He rules from a heavenly throne and in this world now. The enemy of this world has been defeated. Through Jesus, we have been given authority to trample every ungodly spiritual principality which seeks to exalt itself or thrust dominion over us and those who live out their temporal lives with us. Sometimes the enemy is beaten back and evicted from his places of influence when we invoke the power of Jesus in prayer. This style of prayer is vital for release of God's power into lives to set captives spiritually free. But the work of God to establish his kingdom as much as possible, bringing the way of heaven, the culture of heaven, to earth now, consists primarily and substantively in being in His will with how we live every moment of every day. God is relational. He's all about relationship. He is in perfect relationship with Himself in the threesome of separate persons in the Trinity, Father, Son Jesus, and Holy Spirit. He made us for relationship with Him and created us not as autonomous individual entities, but to be incomplete without each other, without Him. And we are to interact with and love one another as Father does with Jesus, as Jesus does with Father, as Spirit does with Father and Jesus, and as He does with us. The how of this for us is directed by the Holy Spirit. The whole of it is beyond our full comprehension. We will never have the whole overview. We will never be able to see everything He is working out or doing. We will never be able to execute perfectly what He is telling us. We will fail in some of our efforts. But to look to live according to the way of Jesus, most especially in relationship with one another, is that to which we are called. This is the most important work. It is the God work in this generation and every generation. The loving of the ones in our lives here springs forth and becomes possible by the loving of the one who is on the throne as well. This is the most essential, how we treat one another in our everyday interactions. There is nothing more important. It is the legacy we leave behind, the seeds planted, the core given. Though society can imply, given its priorities, that this is in some way insignificant, it is exactly that which attaches itself onto the hearts and souls of others and trickles down with good God effect through generations. How we treat one another, no small thing, no small thing. Acts of love, bringing the love of God His way to someone else, is never small in God's economy, which is the true way of life. Jesus' economy, God's kingdom, that's the superseding culture. Jesus gives the example and teaches us how. He does so not just with words, but His actions. His whole life was lived as a representative of God and God's kingdom way. Importantly, Jesus did this not by His individual ideas, but by executing Father's. Jesus came to bring a new culture in which His followers were to live. It was a subculture which could hide itself and thrive within any other. It was also an overarching culture. In other words, the culture Jesus brought can and does exist within any other human culture and still thrives within it. The Kingdom of God culture will also remain long after every other human culture has ceased. In the Gospels, those writings found in the New Testament portion of the Bible which covered Jesus' earthly life, death, and resurrection, Jesus describes His kingdom like a mustard seed. And indeed, His way of living can seem like this. Like a mustard seed, Jesus' culture, His way of living can seem so minuscule that it seems as if powerless, as if unto no effect. But God plants this culture in individual hearts who are already part of a human culture. And as the revelation of Him, His love, and His way grows in those individual hearts, and we perceive what we are to do for Him, it is as if this little seed, to which no one paid attention, has sprouted and grown into a large plant whose branches care for many. Jesus' culture, which is beyond the capacity of any human-sourced, human-driven culture, is born in individual hearts through the power and move of the Holy Spirit. This is a God-seeking culture, where we look at God and focus on Him. We seek God's will. We come under God, purposefully under His rule. We invite Holy Spirit to help us understand, guide us, and do whatever He wants with us. All because Jesus is King And we know it. Gradually we are changed. We are not just members of God's kingdom in name only, but becoming citizens. We become that mustard seed which finally sprouted as it grows as becoming that God support to yet others. Our former priorities and pursuits become less pressing. As He molds our hearts through contact with Him, increasingly we want more what God wants. This results in a difference in how others near and far are treated because of the little seed of the actions of the one like you who becomes Spirit-filled and follows Him, and thus Spirit-empowered. The mustard bush grows in that there is a God effect on lives around us, regardless of the human culture in which we find ourselves. Listen to the song, Freedom Comes From You, from the Ascendant Worship album. Let's finish with a few more verses from God's Word, the Bible. This is Jesus talking in the Gospel written by St. Luke, chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. This led him to say, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his own garden, and it grew, and became a tree, and the wild birds found shelter, and roosted and nested in his branches." Thank you for joining in. This is Elizabeth Folgaro. I am praying for you. Remember to listen to the song Freedom Comes From You until it becomes your prayer and your offering to the King. And keep seeking God.